Now, I thought had finished loving kindness, but I think I'll go back a little. So, when you practice loving kindness, say first, you try to see danger in anger or hate, and then try to see the advantages of patience. And then you practice loving kindness meditation first towards yourself, and then to the person who is dear, and then to a neutral person, and last to a person, to an enemy. And when you are able to break down the barriers, that means when you have the mental impartiality towards these four kinds of persons, you are said to have broken the barriers. So with the breaking of barriers come the excess concentration. So in other meditation, we can say that at this point you get the learning sign, and then at another point you get the counterpart sign. But here there is no learning sign and counterpart sign separately. So the sign is the counterpart sign, and at the it is not a special sign. But when you are able to break the barriers, and you are said to have obtained the counterpart sign. And at that moment, also the excess concentration. Then you dwell on the beings and cultivate further so that you attain jhana. And with mitta, with the loving kindness meditation, one can get up to the third jhana in fourfold method, and the fourth jhana in fivefold method. And then come the text and commentary. It is page 333. The text given here is a stock phrase text found in many suttas and also in Abhidhamma. So the reference given here is Vibhanga, that is Abhidhamma, and D, that is Sutta. So in Sutta Bhidhika and also in Abhidhamma, you find this passage again and again whenever loving kindness meditation is described. And then the explanation of the words. So down about the middle of the page, in paragraph 47, that is about the fourth, fifth line. Just as to oneself, equality with oneself, without making the distinction, this is another being, is what is meant. Or alternatively, equally, sabbattataya, is with the whole state of mind, not reserving even a little, is what is meant. But here really means not being distracted outside, even a little. So with the whole state of mind, you practice loving kindness meditation. So not to be distracted outside, even a little. And then in paragraph 48, measureless through familiarity and through having measureless beings as its object. So it is called measureless because it is practiced again and again, and so you are very familiar with that meditation, that kind of jhana. Or it can mean measureless through having measureless beings as its object. So since its object is measureless, it is also called measureless.
Is endued right, or do they mean imbued? The very first at 48, endued.
Yeah.
Is that English?
endued with loving kindness.
Does it should be imbued or is
endowed?
I think it
imbued.
Endued.
Endued, yeah.
I don't know what word that.
I think it may mean the same thing. Something like endowed with or be with. Yeah. But I think there is a correct word. Endued with. Yeah. And then the description of, say, 528 modes of loving kindness, and that I explained last week. So at the bottom of page 335, the explanation of the word being, satta, they are held, satta, gripped, visatta, by desire. The Pali word is just to be attached. So they are attached to, they are very attached to. Visada means very attached to, by way of desire. So they are called satta in Pali. And those who have no greed are also called satta. Because it is the common term or common usage for beings actually. And the example given here is talawanta in Pali. Talawanta means palm fan, a fan made of palm leaves. But later on, anything which we use to fan us is called a fan. So whether it is made with palm leaves or by feathers or whatever. But the same name is applied to that thing. So I pointed out the word what? Pen. So pen really means a feather. But even though it is not feather, it is called pen. And then you see the word akara chintaka. However, in the world, etymologists, akara chintaka, who do not consider meaning, have it that it is a mere name. Now, akara chintaka. Akara means letters, and chintaka means thinkers. So thinkers of letters. So that means grammarians or etymologists. And there are two kinds of etymologists here. One kind of etymologist did not search for the meaning of the word, the literal meaning of the word. So they said it is just a name given to the being. So don't worry about whether it means to be attached to or whatever. So it is a mere name for them. While those who do consider meaning have it that. There are other kinds of etymologists who said, oh, it has a meaning. And the word comes from sattva in Sanskrit, S-A-T-T-V-A. And a being is called sattva because it has a bright principle, sattva. And this refers to the teaching of Sankhya system in Indian philosophy. The Sankhya system teaches that there are three principles, the sattva, rajas, and tamas. They are given in the footnote.
So in Sanskrit, this is sattva.
Sattva, yes. That's why you have bodhisattva.
Right.
Yes. In Pali, it is satta. And then I think I talked about pugala last time. Pugala. Pu and gala. The put here means hell, and gala means to fall. So falling to hell. Those who will fall to hell are called pugala. And the Hindu belief is that you go to hell if you do not have any offspring. And then in the footnote number 7, when the aggregates are not fully understood, there is naming abhidana of them and of the consciousness. I think of the should go, and consciousness of them as self. That means if we do not understand the real nature of aggregates, we call these aggregates, or we give a name to this aggregate, Atta, self. And we understand it as Atta. So consciousness here really means understanding. So we understand it, or we know it as, we know them, we know these aggregates as Atta. And that is to say the physical body, or alternatively the five aggregates. Now, the sub-commentary is explaining the word Atta Bhava. You can find the word in paragraph 54 after personality, Atta Bhava. So the word Atta Bhava is explained here. Atta means Atta, and Bhava means something had something arising from it. So something here means the naming and knowing. So naming and knowing arise from it. Therefore, it is called bhava. And how naming and how knowing as atta. So that is called atta bhava in Pali or in Sanskrit. And then on page, next page, 337, the first paragraph. And here, may all beings be free from enmity is one absorption. That the sub-commentary also said something about absorption or jhana here. The word used is apana. So apana is normally translated as absorption or jhana. But I think if we translate it as not as jhana but as something like application, I think it makes more sense. Now, when we practice loving kindness meditation, we practice in four ways. May all beings be free from enmity, that is one. Then may all beings be free from, say, affliction, that is two. May all beings be free from anxiety, that is three. May they live happily, that is four. So they are each one application.
What was the first one?
May all beings be free from enmity. That is on page 337. But the commentary, or sub-commentary explains that you can get jhana just by practicing this one, saying this one sentence, may all beings be free from enmity, may all beings be free from enmity, may all beings be free from enmity, and so on. So this is called one apana, one absorption or one application. And in the explanation of these, free from affliction means free from mental affliction. And free from anxiety, I think that translation is not accurate. The Pali word is anika, and that means free from dukkha. So, you may have noticed in the sheet I gave you last week, I changed them. So the second application is translated as, may all beings be free from displeasure. And the third, free from affliction. So free from affliction means free from bodily suffering, free from pain, something like that. And free from displeasure means from domanasa or mental affliction. And the fourth one is, may they live happily. So literally it means may they hold their selves happily, or may they maintain their bodies, may they maintain their selves happily. So that is all right if we say just may they live happily. So there are four absorptions or four applications. And then the 11 benefits to be enjoyed from the practice of loving kindness meditation. And they are sleeps in comfort, wakes in comfort, and so on. And on page 339, paragraph 71, the reference is given there for, like fire in the case of the lay woman devotee Uttara. So you are referred to chapter 12, paragraph 34. We will come to that later. Not now. Not today. And DHA means the commentary to Dhammapada. So if you want to read a story in more detail, you can read the book Buddhist Legends. I think you have the copy here.
Yeah,
Buddhist Legends, part 3, page 103 and following. And like the poison in the case of Sanyukta reciter, the elder Chula Siva, we don't know this story because the common sub-commentary also did not explain this. Maybe it was very well known at the time of writing down this commentary, but now nobody knows about this elder Chula Siva. And the last one, like the knife in the case of a novice Sankecha, and also Dhammapada Attakta. So for this, you may read the same book, Buddhist Legends, part 2, page 238 and following. Okay, now we go to confession. Confession, Karuna. The word will be explained later. So one who wants to develop compassion should begin his task by reviewing the danger and lack of compassion and the advantage in compassion. And then he practices compassion. Now, compassion takes, first, compassion takes beings in suffering or beings in distress as objects. So it is a little different from the object of loving kindness meditation. Loving kindness meditation takes all beings, whether they are suffering or whether they are enjoying. So, or all beings. But the Karuna takes beings who are in distress, who are in suffering. First, so if when we want to practice Karuna meditation, we have to find some person who is in distress, who is suffering, mentally as well as physically. So we have to find such a person. Now, if we cannot find such a person, what should we do? Then we can arouse compassion for an evil-doing person. So there may be some person who is doing evil. So even though he is happy right now, he is going to suffer in his next life. So he is the object of compassion also. So we can practice compassion to such a person.
But they were people so happy at that time that they couldn't find someone easily who was suffering.
So they may be having fun right now. They are doing evil things, but they are going to suffer the consequences of the wrongdoing. The consequences they will suffer in the next life, and so you can think about that and take them as the object of karuna. And then the comparison is given here: a man who is caught with stolen goods, and then who is condemned to death, to death, and so he was given food and all these things, but he was not happy, and so on. Now, in that story, paragraph 79, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th line, so giving him 100 blows in sets of 4, actually not in sets of 4, but at every crossroad. Crossroads are called a set of 4 because the 4 roads meet there. So at every crossroad, so he was given 100 blows, not in set of 4. So people give him things to eat, and although he may be eating, and although he may look enjoying it, he's going to suffer death. So In the same way, although a person who is doing evil may be enjoying himself now, he is going to suffer. So he can be the object of karuna. And then, there may be some person who does not do evil, so who do profitable deeds, but he may be overtaken by one of the kinds of ruin, beginning with the ruin of health, or ruin of relatives, or ruin of property, and so on. So he can also be an object of karuna meditation. So a person who does not do evil things, but who does meritorious deed, good things, but he may be poor in health, he may have disease, or he may have lost his relatives, or he may have lost his property, and so on. So he can also be the object of karuna. Now, in that paragraph 81, second of that, and here too, the word too is misplaced. That should go after he, down 1, 2, 3, fourth line. He too deserves the meditator's compassion. Not only the person who does evil, he also deserves compassion. So he too deserves the meditator's compassion. Then, even with no such ruin, thus in reality he is unhappy. Now, there is a person, say, who does good, and he has not been overtaken by any one of the ruins, so he is well off, he is in prosperity. What do you do with him? You can still practice karuna towards him, because in reality he is unhappy because he is not exempt from suffering of the round of becoming. So he is not exempt from suffering old age, suffering disease, suffering death at the end, in the end. And so such a person can also be the object of karuna meditation. So in fact, any being, anybody can be the object of karuna meditation, depending on say, how you regard him, how you forget him. But it is better to find a person who is in real distress, who is in real suffering, and practice karuna to him. If you cannot find such a person, then the other persons. And here also there is a breaking down of barriers, and then practicing meditation until one gets jhana. This meditation can also lead to the attainment of third jhana or fourth jhana. The next one is gladness, mudita. So since it is gladness, its object must be people who are in prosperity, who are in happiness. So beings who are in happiness are the objects of mudita meditation. And you practice this to dear person and so on. Now, a boon companion. What is a boon companion? The Pali word is Sonda Sahaya. Sonda Sahaya may literally mean Sonda means a tavern, a drinking place. So Sonda Sahaya means a drinking companion or something. That means a very intimate and say, very kind towards that person. Do you use this what, boon companion?
Well, I don't think so. Boon is something like lucky or a gift or something like that. But a boon companion is not a phrase. Boon is old English for something like lucky or a gift or something.
That I always think would be a good one, though, wouldn't it? You had a boon companion, you think it was a very good dear friend.
Is there another?
Well, in French, I was thinking, in French is a bon vivant or something, that was a high liver or a drinker or something. That's the closest, but that's French. That's not English. But actually, a drinking companion makes a lot of sense.
And when you practice, when you practice compassion, what you do is, this being has indeed been reduced to misery. If only he could be free from this suffering. That is how you practice compassion. And that is on page 340 and paragraph 78. So when you practice karuna, you say, actually, may he be free from suffering. May he get free from this suffering. So that is the way of practicing compassion towards beings. And mudita, what do you say? This being is indeed glad. How good, how excellent. That is mudita. So when you practice mudita, you say just, oh, he is happy, he is in prosperity, he, how good, how excellent. So that is how you practice mudita meditation. But there is another sentence. I think we will meet sometime later. So when you want to practice mudita meditation, so you choose a person who is in happiness, who is in prosperity, and then he is happy, he is prosperous, how good, how excellent, like that. And here, if his boon companion or the dear person was happy in the past but is now unlucky and unfortunate, then gladness can still be aroused by remembering his past happiness. Or in the future, he will again enjoy similar success and so on. So you can still practice mudita towards that person. And then... and then breaking down of barriers and so on. So this meditation also leads to third jhana or fourth jhana. The last one, equanimity, upekkha. One who wants to develop equanimity must have already obtained the triple or quadruple jhana in loving kindness. That is, if you want to attain jhana through this meditation, you must have you first attained three jhanas or four jhanas by the practice of loving kindness or compassion or gladness. He should emerge from the third jhana in the fourfold reckoning after he has made it familiar, and he should see danger in the former three divine abidings because they are linked with attention given to beings' enjoyment or given to attachment to beings in the way beginning, may they be happy, and so on. And because resentment and approval are near, and because their association with joy is gross. Actually, because they are gross due to association with joy. Not that association with joy is gross, but they are gross. They are said to be gross because they are associated with joy. That is, sukha with them. So, they are said to be gross. And he should also see the advantage in equanimity because it is peaceful and so on. So how do you practice equanimity towards people? What do you say? It is not given here. We will meet it later. You say just beings have karma as their property. Just that. So it is karma.
Karma?
Yes. Because beings suffer or enjoy according to their karma, so it is a karma. Beings have karma as their property, as their matrix, as their relative, and so on. So, thinking of the law of karma is one way of practicing upekkha meditation. Therefore, he should arouse equanimity towards the neutral person in the way already started. Then, through the neutral one, I think those should go. We do not need them. Through the neutral one. So then he should break down the barriers in each case between the three people, that is the dear person, then the boon companion, and then the hostile person, and lastly himself. And he should cultivate that sign, develop and repeatedly practice it. So here, since he has attained three jhanas or four jhanas with the Mitta meditation and others, here he reaches the fourth jhana or the fifth jhana. But how then does this arise in one in whom the third jhana has already arisen on the basis of the adkasina, etc.? It does not. Now, not anybody who has gained jhana with other meditation can attain the fourth jhana or fifth jhana through upekkha. So he has to have gained jhana through metta or karuna or mudita meditation, so that he can gain to the fourth jhana or the fifth jhana through the last one, through upekkha meditation. So does this arise in one in whom the third jhana has already arisen on the basis of the adkasina, etc.? It does not. Why not? Because the dissimilarity of the object. If you get, say, first, second, third jhana, taking the earth kasina as object, the earth disk as object, then the object of your jhana is the earth disk. But here, the object of your jhana must be beings, the concept being. So there is difference of object because of the dissimilarity of the object. It arises only in one, in whom the third jhana has arisen on the basis of loving kindness, etc. So that is the end of the four divine abidings, and now comes the general exposition. The first is the meanings. Meaning of the word metta, karuna, mudita, and upekkha. So, as to the meaning, firstly, of loving-kindness, compassion, gladness, and equanimity. It fattens. Thus, it is loving-kindness. Now, I think it's better to say, it is sticky. Thus, it is loving-kindness. The Pali word mijjati really means it sticks. So it is sticky. Thus, it is loving-kindness, metta. It is glutinous, not solvent, because when you have metta, you are as it were glued to the person. So it is glutinous, is the meaning, not solvent. Also, it comes about with respect to a friend, metta, or it is behavior towards a friend. So the first explanation takes the word mitta to come from a root, mit, and a suffix ta. But the second one, beginning with also, it comes about. So the second one takes the word mitta to come from the word mitta, M-I-T-T-A. So M-I-T-T-A is changed to M-E-T-T-A by a grammatical rule. So the word metta is derived first from a root and a suffix, and then the second from a word and a suffix. The second one is karuna. So karuna is explained here as suffering in others. It causes, when there is suffering in others, it causes good people's hearts to be moved. That is right. Thus it is compassion. Or alternatively, it combats others' suffering, attacks and demolishes it. Thus it is compassion. Now here, whether you really demolish the suffering of others is not important, not it is immaterial. But when karuna arises in one's mind, it arises in this manner, in this mode, wanting to remove suffering from others. Or alternatively, it is scattered upon those who suffer. It is extended to them by pervasion. Thus, it is compassion. So it is a desire for beings to be free from suffering, to be free from distress. Next one. Those endowed with it are glad, or itself is glad, or it is the mere act of being glad. Thus, it is gladness. So mudita is defined as just gladness. And then upekha, it looks on at upekhati, abandoning such interestedness as thinking, may they be free from enmity and having recourse to neutrality. Thus it is equanimity. So this equanimity is not indifference, because it takes the beings as object and it is just impartiality. Not disregarding them altogether. And then characteristics. The characteristic of loving kindness is promoting the aspect of welfare. That means actually occurring in the mode of desiring welfare. Its function is to prefer welfare. It is manifested as the removal of annoyance, or I just want to say ill will. Its proximate cause is seeing lovableness in beings. It succeeds when it makes ill will subside, and it fails when it produces selfish affection. Selfish is put in parentheses. Is there unselfish affection?
I think so.
Oh. But here, what it means is attachment.
Right.
So if you have attachment or lobha, then you fail. And compassion is actually desire to remove suffering from others. So promoting the aspect of allaying suffering. Its function resides in not bearing others' suffering. It is manifested as non-cruelty. Its proximate cause is seeing helplessness in those overwhelmed by suffering. It succeeds when it makes cruelty subside, and it fails when it produces sorrow. Now, it is very important. It fails when it produces sorrow. So when you practice compassion, you just stop at compassion and you don't go into feeling sorry. That is very important, because when we see some people, say, injured by some person, we not only feel sorry for them, but we are angry with the person who inflict pain to them. And so when we do that, we are going beyond the scope of compassion. So we are getting into akusala, unwholesome mental states. So, but compassion is wholesome mental state, a highly developed wholesome mental state. So when we practice compassion, we just have this desire for them to be free from suffering. But we cannot say that we suffer with them, because if we suffer with them, we have unwholesome mental states in our mind. So we do not suffer with them, but we have compassion for them, we sympathize with them. So that is important in karuna. Because many people confuse karuna with this enemy of sorrow. Gladness is characterized as gladdening produced by other success. Its function resides in being unenvious. It is manifested as the elimination of aversion and boredom. So we were talking about aversion and boredom on our way here. The Pali word used is arati. So rati means delight and a means not. So non-delight in other people's, other beings, success, etc. And I don't think we can call it boredom. And aversion also, Michael said it won't do here. Can you think of another word which means non-delight? It is the opposite of envy, actually. When you envy somebody, you are not pleased with his success or his prosperity. So you don't take delight in him, in his success. So the word arati here means that, not taking delight in other people's success and so on. It succeeds when it makes non-delight does subside, and it fails in when it produces merriment, that is, merriment with attachment. Equanimity is characterized as promoting
sometimes, you say sympathetic joy for
yeah,
gladness.
Yeah, yes. Sympathetic joy, and also some translated as altruistic joy. That may be better, sympathetic joy. Because gladness can mean any kind of gladness.
Right.
But maybe here the author wanted to be literal. So mudita just means gladness. But I think the sympathetic joy is a better word for it. Equanimity is characterized as promoting the aspect of neutrality towards beings and so on. Now, its proximate cause is seeing ownership of deeds come thus. Beings are owners of their deeds. Whose, if not theirs, is the choice by which they will become happy? All will get free from suffering, or will not fall away from the success they have reached. Now, will get free from suffering refers to karuna, compassion, and will not fall away from the success they have reached refers to mudita. So when you practice mudita, you can say, may they not fall away from this prosperity, from this success, or from this happiness. You can say like that too. On the other page, we might have saying, this being is indeed glad. How good, how excellent. So you can say to yourself that way. Or you can say, may he not fall away from the present prosperity or present happiness or success. It succeeds when it makes resentment and approval subside. Resentment is lobha and approval... Resentment is dosa and approval is lobha. And it fails when it produces the equanimity of unknowing. Equanimity of unknowing really means indifference of ignorance, just ignorance. And the purpose. The general purpose of these four divine abidings is the bliss of insight and an excellent form of future existence. That peculiar to each is respectively the warding off of ill will and so on. this paragraph is not difficult to understand. So next paragraph, the near and far enemies. Now, they have, each one has two kinds of enemies, near enemy and far enemy. The divine abiding of loving kindness has greed as a near enemy. So when you, that is why it is very important when you practice loving kindness, you do not have attachment or grief to that person. Sometimes it, they are very similar. And so you may take one for the other. So the near enemy is greed or attachment, since both share in seeing good things, seeing virtues. Greed behaves like a foe who keeps close by a man, and it easily finds an opportunity. So loving kindness should be well protected from it. And ill will, which is dissimilar to the similar greed, is its far enemy, like a foe ensconced in a rock wilderness. So loving kindness must be practiced free from fear of that or free from danger of that. For it is not possible to practice loving kindness and feel anger simultaneously. Compassion has grief based on the home life as its near enemy, that is, feeling sorry, since both share in seeing failure. Such grief has been described in the way beginning and so on. And cruelty, which is dissimilar to the similar grief, is its far enemy. So its near enemy.